Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. That's the old Motley Crue song that Tim Gillette uses. That means I'm back on the air. You know, I wish you guys could be here in my studio and my office to hear, see me doing my air drumming and stuff when that song starts playing. It's just one of those songs that motivates the crap out of me. Gets me moving forward every day. And that's part of why I built the system of rock and roll music, you know, motorcycles, mentorship, because it was the three keys that really motivated my life. So today, on our radio show, it's our second show of 2014. I am so excited to actually know that I've been on the air for three calendar years, been about a year and a half of radio shows, that this thing just keeps rolling along. I know that in the beginning, I had to learn an awful lot of things. I had to figure this out, but I moved forward with it. I decided that I was going to do it, I was going to make it work, and I was going to have fun with it. I know last night I was actually on the air with another friend of mine on Rockstar Radio Network, which our guest today happens to be on the same network with his radio show. Another friend of mine, Rhonda Vigent, had her show. I was so excited to be on there and actually have my daughter on the show with me. So if you get a chance, go over and pick up the copy of that show. My daughter's radio debut, where she actually did get on the air and talk about it, because we were talking about legacies and what we do. And I'm so excited that I'm trying to leave a legacy with my family and get my daughter to do the same thing that I do, and that is create entrepreneurs. So what's going on here in the Dallas area with our rock and roll business here is the 20th is coming up very fast. If you're in the Dallas, Texas area, we have our monthly mastermind experience where we help entrepreneurs come out of their skin, come up with new ideas, be interactive, and network with people who are going to join forces with them and help them take their new business to a different level that they never thought or could imagine when they see the ideas of how a mastermind works and how coaching works. This January is going to be it's going to be about some of the new things we're doing with our bragging sessions coming in. We're going to do a coaching corner, and we just talked to our guest speaker for this time is going to be my buddy Robert Parkerson, as he kicks off the new year with building relationships in the new year and how those relationships can carry out success in your business. Excited to have that going. I'm getting ready myself to actually take off and then the following week and head out to Los Angeles, where I get to hang out with some of my mastermind friends. Then we go into February. Man, I've already got speaking engagements in Phoenix, Arizona, Austin, Texas for February. So excited to go out and motivate those entrepreneurs to actually do something and take action to make a change in their world. So today, ladies and gentlemen, our radio show is going to be a great one. When we think of a new year and we think of new things we do, no matter how old we get, we've got to be able to go and do new things. My guest today, Mr. Walt Grassel, actually did that. Walt has had to overcome his fear of speaking, and now Walt has a radio show of his own. He has a book out there. When I first met Walt, to actually see the progress that he's made, and I know that there was a huge progress before I met him, to know that, you know, how far he's come. I am excited today to have him on the show. We're going to talk about some of his fears and his stories, the things that he had to overcome to become the man he is today, and now how much he's helping other people overcome that same fear. So, you know, he's another mastermind member from Craig Dustwalt's Mastermind out in California. I'm so much thankful for that mastermind family that I'm part of out there. So let's bring him on the air. Mr. Walt Grassel, are you there?
I'm here, Tim. Thank you very much for having me on your show, and congratulations on being at this for 3 years.
Yeah. So it is so exciting when we actually start doing something that we face the fear, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no greater thrill than overcoming your fears. The biggest instance that I had of that was in my journey to overcome my stage fright. One of the things that people told me was, well, if you do stand-up comedy and get laughs, that will help you, but it's also the most fearful. And I took a class, and the graduation of the class was to go perform the set that you developed at the Hollywood Improv, a big venue. People paid full price to get in, two drink minimum, 200 people. And I was never more afraid in my life of speaking than going out on stage. I mean, my legs were shaking, everything that you associate with stage fright. But when I was done, I got some laughs. It wasn't perfect, but I did it, and I never felt such exhilaration as I did when I walked off that stage and went back up the stairs to the green room. It felt like I flew up the stairs, me and my bad knees. It was just an incredibly exhilarating experience, and that kind of got me in the mindset of, you know what, even if you're afraid, face your fear, do it. It's never as bad as you think it is, and when you're done, you'll feel so much better, not just for the accomplishment, but for the fact that you were afraid but did it anyway.
Yeah, and it's so glad to hear that. And I know that, you know, Walt, you're not a young man. You did this, you were, what age were you? You were in your 50s, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in my 50s. I had stage fright up until I was just about to turn 50 when I took the first step and joined Toastmasters. But yeah, I lived basically the first 50 years of my life being afraid, afraid to do things, afraid to speak in public when I had to in the work environment. I was a department manager of 100 design engineers. I had to speak. I was in meetings with high-level people where I had things to contribute, and I had a choice. I could either hold my thought and share it with somebody privately, or I could try and communicate it by standing up, taking a microphone, and talking to the room. But if I did that, sometimes, more often than not, the thoughts wouldn't come out coherently. I would stumble over my words, and I looked like a complete idiot. So it was a big challenge. But once I started to move in that direction, and instead of just saying, oh, no, I can't do things, it really made a big difference in my life. And I had no idea. I retired at the age of 55 in August of 2012, and I thought my life in retirement would be, you know, golf a little, watch some TV, putter around, maybe do some volunteer work in a one-on-one type environment. And what I'm doing today is just so totally different.
Yeah, and I mean, I met you, would have been March of 2012, I think I met you. I think that's about the time we met, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was it. It was me preparing for retirement, and it was at Craig's Rockstar Entrepreneur Boot Camp, or Marketing Boot Camp, in March of 2012. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. when we met.
And yeah, and just, I mean, I've seen you come so much in that, it's almost 2 years now. It's like, wow, it's like almost 2 years. And to see how far you've come from it, I can only imagine how far you came before that, you know?
Yeah, it's, and the change even continues to this date. I'm constantly moving forward, challenging myself with new experiences. One of the things that I did to help overcome the stage fright was improv, and I took a lot of improv classes in local settings, like through Parks and Recreation or small local companies. And recently, in part because Craig Doeswalt challenged me to take it to the next level, I did an audition for the Growling School in Hollywood, which is a famous improv and sketch comedy company, and they have a school that you can audition for and potentially graduate and become one of their performers. And I took the audition, and just yesterday I passed the basic class, which when I went in, people set the expectation that, hey, you may have to repeat this two or three times to get the basics down before you can move up. And I was fortunate to be able to pass and move to the next level. So I just continue to grow and grow and grow and seek new challenges. And it's just an amazing experience. And I use the term, I'm living the dream. And I had no idea in my 40s that my retirement would be anything like this. And when I go back and talk to people that I work with that haven't seen me for years, they're, like, amazed at what I'm doing. And that just reinforces it. Because when you do something, I'm sure you find that. You take on challenges and do them, and you're never as impressed as other people are with what you accomplish because you're the one doing it.
Very true. Well, you know, and before we go down, I want to go back and talk about some of the fears because, you know, a lot of my listeners are entrepreneurs or on the edge of being the entrepreneur. So the fear is a lot of times, Walt, that they're afraid to just even go out and start that business. And I know that's a minor fear compared to the stage fright fear. Really, it is. So I want to talk about your fears a little bit. Tell me about the fear and what it was like when you were in the office and your job. And you knew you had to give a presentation. Tell us about what you had to feel every day when you went through that.
Well, I would dread it leading up to it. I was good at preparing charts, and I always felt that my role in life was to not be the leader, but to be like the second in command, you know, like the chief of staff, the person that pulls together information and makes their boss look good when their boss is the face of the organization and goes out and speaks. But in situations when I was leading a project and had to speak, I used PowerPoint as a crutch, or back before PowerPoint, the transparencies, the flip charts. I would put enough information on the chart that I could turn around and, you know, not look at the audience. And in the engineering environment, I worked for an aerospace company. It was fairly common for people to just pull up their charts, turn their back to the audience and read the charts. Now, I knew the importance of eye contact, so I was kind of my neck on a swivel. I would look at the chart, look back at the audience, look at the chart. And what really got me was if I was asked a question, even though I knew the answer or might be able to figure it out, there was no way it was going to happen when I was in front of an audience. So I dreaded presenting. It was one of those things you just have to do. Kind of like going to the dentist. If you have a fear of going to the dentist, you know, but you got to do it, right? So, but it severely limited my career. I mean, I went from a technician to a department manager based on my willingness to study and learn how to deal with small groups and people one on one, and in understanding the psychology of how people interact. Had I been a good public speaker, who knows how much further my career might have gone, but you can't cry over spilled milk. It was, it is what it is. I put myself in a box, but there were circumstances at work that got me to decide, you know what, I've got to address this fear. And like I said, it was just before I turned 50, and I decided to do it. And I developed that mindset that just because you couldn't do something before doesn't mean you can't do it now. And I chose to conquer the fear, and that led me on this incredible journey.
Yeah. No, I mean, and you're in your mid-50s now. And, you know what I mean, I think of that fear because, I mean, I know people who are older than that. They're in their 70s, and there's still a fear from something that happened when they were in their childhood that they can't get past. So let's talk about your path about getting past it, because you knew to get past it you had to join Toastmasters. Tell us about the decision to make that step. What was the decision like, and how long did it take you?
Okay, I had heard about Toastmasters probably in my mid-30s. One of the managers who was like a level or two up from me mentioned that, oh, you know, there's this group called Toastmasters. You should come. We give speeches and evaluate the speeches, and we go around the room, and people get to talk for a minute. And I'm like, okay, you just lost me there. And for 15 years, I didn't do anything. And then our company went through the first layoff in a long time. We lost a big program of over 800 people, and we had to let go about 100 people. We couldn't absorb 800 people into the existing work. And as a department manager, it was my job to talk to a room full of people who were not laid off. They basically wanted us to go to small conference rooms located, or medium-sized conference rooms, throughout the buildings and explain why the layoff was happening. It's not that these people are being fired because they're incompetent. It's just we ran out of work and we went through a process. And HR had all these talking points, and there was just like no way with my mind going blank that I could remember those points. Well, my boss happened to be in the conference room, and he heard me and saw me kind of go down the points. And even though I was emotional about feeling bad about the people being let go, the fact that I had to read it and couldn't just stand there and look people in the eye, that was a problem. And we had done a 360-degree appraisal shortly thereafter. And the comment from my boss, the only person above me in the 360 appraisal, was, I really need to address that fear of public speaking. So I went to my HR guy, and he mentioned that there was a Toastmasters club at our facility and who the president was, that I should contact her and go to a meeting. And as much as I didn't feel comfortable going, I went anyway. And one of the sad things about it is in the first year and a half I was in Toastmasters, I only spoke 6 times. So just joining Toastmasters is not necessary. I mean, it's a good first step, but you actually have to speak.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of my saying, you know what, I have to make a change. And change is a lot of times uncomfortable. And as a leader, I tried to coach the organization through change and tried to be a leader. For instance, if senior leadership said they were going to change a policy, rather than try and resist or passively resist, I wanted to get out in front of the change because it's going to happen either way.
Mm.
And the sooner you get out in front of it, the better off you're going to be. But I didn't apply what I did in business as a business leader in terms of my personal life and my personal skill set. And I, at that point, I decided to do that and make a change.
So now when you make the you make the decision to go into Toastmasters, after you attend that first meeting, does a part of you start to feel like, okay, the decision is made, it's not that bad? Is there a part of you that feels that yet, or how long did that take?
Well, actually, that took about a year and a half. Let's see, a little over a year later, I went to a Toastmasters district conference, which occurred twice a year, and one of the attendees was a world champion of public speaking, Darren LaCroix. You know, so I've been in Toastmasters and not really making progress. And even before this guy spoke, he had some training materials, and I had decided I wanted to invest in myself and buy his materials. And I didn't want to do it in the crowd after he spoke. So I was talking to him before, and there wasn't a whole lot of action going on at his table. And he told me, hey, I got this group that if you join, you'll get a 20% discount off of your purchase today, and if you don't like it, you can quit after a month. And it was only like $30, and so I saved money with that. But when I heard about his group, I joined it and I stayed in it, and it gave you discounts on training. So I go, okay, I'm not working this Toastmaster program as good as I could by myself. Let me go to some speaking conference to learn how to speak. February of 2008, about a year and a half later, I went to a two-day storytelling boot camp, a two-day humor boot camp to learn how to put humor into my speeches, and a two-day speaking conference called Lady and the Champs. And on my flight back from Las Vegas, after having attended all that, and hanging around with people who were speaking, I realized I have the skill set to do this. I just have to overcome my fear. And with goals, it really helps if you put a timeliness onto it or put a date. So I said by August of 2012, when I retire, I want to be good enough to get paid to speak. And by putting that goal out there, which was, I mean, this was February of 2008, so I had 4.5 years. And, you know, they say goals should be realistic. I felt that that was realistic. And that's really what turned things on, because then I would spend a lot of time learning about speaking, how to be a better speaker. But, you know, you also have to do the work. And that kind of came later in my journey. But I knew that, number one, it was possible to do it if I could just figure out what was making me afraid. And I had the tools and the knowledge and the network of places to go to get training to do this. And that's really what started amping things up.
Wow. I mean, and yeah, because I hear sometimes it's just the decision, but you realize that it wasn't just the decision. There was going to be more to the process. But then setting that goal 4 years out and being realistic about it, that is impressive to me, Walt. How many times I work with clients who, like, they talk about, you know what I mean, I want to be an entrepreneur, and they want to be now, and they don't realize sometimes that's not realistic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Your idea that, I mean, you knew it was a couple years away, and that was realistic. And now you have a great, you know what I mean, a great growing speaking career, and the fact that you have the radio show and everything. But tell us then about, you know what I mean, after you set the goal, that 4 years of working towards that goal. Now, you have to have, when you set a goal, you know what I mean, you're working on it, but ups and downs. Tell us about the ups and downs in that 4 years.
Okay. I guess the next phase of the journey was that I knew what I should be doing, and I knew how to put a story into a speech and how to write it. I knew how to make the speech funny. But I would still get up and be nervous. And at this conference, especially the Lady in the Champs conference, I was talking to the presenters. I was talking to fellow members about, what do you do? So how did you overcome your stage fright? Because 3 out of 4 people have stage fright. And I really didn't get an answer that worked for me. But one speaker at some event I was at was talking about eye contact. And part of my stage fright came from shyness. Even into my late 20s, I was shy having a conversation with people one-on-one, even if I vaguely knew, you know, had some passing acquaintance with them but didn't know them really well. I had a hard time having a conversation, much less a stranger. And as I got into my early 30s, I overcame that fear. But then if I was talking to 2 people at a party or an event, I would then struggle because I wouldn't know who I was talking to or how to manage sharing the time. And at some point it clicked for me that what I really needed to do to overcome my fear was to make eye contact with especially the people in the front row and say a sentence or two to one person and then at another part of the room. Instead of just looking at the room as a sea of faces, I was talking to individuals. And then as you work your way around the back of the room, that eye contact gets weaker because you can't really zero in on an individual. And then as I start to get nervous, then I bring it back to the front of the room. And then once I did that, it made things a lot better. But I had to take a couple additional steps. It was suggested at that humor boot camp, the comedian that was working with Darren LaCroix, Vinny Favorito, he said to me, look, you're such a big guy. We should be afraid of you when you're up on stage, and you're afraid of us. You're like a little mouse instead of this big, imposing guy. He said, if you could go and do an open mic and get some laughs, that probably will really help you because you'll feel good on stage, right? It's a positive experience if you can make a room laugh. And that's what kind of got me to take the stand-up course. And I was at another Toastmasters event where during the contestant interviews after a speech contest, one person shared their love of improv. And I go, what's improv? So I went up to that person and asked them to explain what improv was. And by getting involved in improv, that helped me be in the moment and trust that whatever's in my head, I would be able to pull out. So that the speech that I wrote, I don't have to worry about reading the teleprompter in my head, which made me very monotonic because it was almost like I was reading it in my mind instead of just sharing the thoughts that were in my head. So that kind of three-legged thing of Toastmasters and speaking, comedy and stand-up comedy and improv really allowed me then to get comfortable giving a speech, sometimes now with even little preparation. And I also belong to a Toastmasters club in a work environment where people couldn't always attend meetings. And we'd have some meetings where the three speakers all got called away to different meetings and we had nobody to speak. And I started challenging myself to give a speech, a 5 to 7 minute speech with almost no preparation. So it's about continuing to, you know, take steps and do and challenge yourself and not be afraid and realize that the speech that you just make up is and deliver is not going to be as good as one that you had 2 weeks to prepare. But the fact that you didn't say, oh, I can't speak, or I guess we don't have a speaker today, by stepping up to take the challenge, it's a good feeling. And, yeah, it has flaws. And that brings me kind of to another point that we might want to explore, the fact that it's not about being perfect. It's about it's okay to make mistakes. And just because you make a mistake, it doesn't reflect badly on you. You make mistakes. You try. Things don't go perfect. You learn, and then you adapt, and you're better for the experiences. So, and that was one of the reasons I didn't speak in the beginning, because I knew my speech would never be perfect. So I said, well, I'm not going to speak now, right, because I'm going to go up there and it's not going to be right. And I had to get over that and just speak as often as I could, as best I can. And you're always better off giving a speech you're 80% ready to give and learning from it than waiting to be 100%, because you're never 100%.
Yeah. So, and you know, I was reading through your website and your waltz rules, and, you know, one of your waltz rules is say yes and figure it out later, but you got that never turn down stage time. I love that. I mean, that's kind of that, you're getting yourself an improv to think, and okay, I can do this, right?
Right. Yeah, it's about, because it's really about a mindset, and for the longest time, you know, it's really, are you the person who's going to, when somebody says, hey, Walt, why don't you do this? Like when you asked me to be on your radio show, my mindset now is say yeah, and then if there was some reason I couldn't do it, then I would say no, or I say, well, no, this date doesn't work, but let's figure out another time. But so many people, and I used to be like this, is when somebody offers up an opportunity to you, your first inclination is to say no, because I want to stay in my box.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to venture through. And that just so limits you. And, you know, one of the other corollaries there is when opportunity knocks, answer the door, because behind that door are other doors that opportunities will knock. But if you never answer that first door, then you just stay where you are. And because I said yes to joining Toastmasters, that opened up a lot of connections and a lot of learning in the speaking environment. It exposed me to improv. It exposed me to stand-up. And it was at the Toastmasters International Convention that I met Craig Duzwalt. He was speaking there, so I wouldn't have met Craig. And because I said yes to buying his materials and attending his boot camp, that led me to meeting a bunch of really good people, including yourself. And then when I said yes to joining his mastermind, that got me to figure out my brand, stand up and speak up. And then when I said yes to the opportunity to have a radio show and yes to the opportunity to write a book, I've done all these things. Had I not joined Toastmasters, it would have been really hard to connect where I was then to where I am today. And it wasn't like one big leap that all of a sudden I was this person with stage fright. And now I'm hosting a radio show. It was a series of saying yes to small opportunities, but that led to another opportunity, and there's a chain. And it's actually, when you go through it like I just did, it's a pretty long chain to get from A to B. It's not a big jump. And
yeah.
I think sometimes people want to hit that home run. They want to get, you know, they want to get that 100-yard, you know, kickoff return. And those are the exceptions. You know, most of the time you have to work your way down the football field, or you have to grind out runs by, you know, several base hits or bunting people across or whatever. Whatever analogy you want to use, it's not the big bang. You don't really hit the lottery. You have to do the work.
Yeah, yeah. And I noticed that's other things in your rules that is, you know what I mean, take small steps. And, you know, one of them you have down there is just have fun. And, you know, I try to work, I think you know some of the stuff I've told, is I try to work with my clients and getting to have fun doing something and taking small steps. And then it's like you stop and reflect and go, oh, my gosh, look how far I've come. As opposed to, I need to take that big step. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I kind of like that you even have that in your things that you had to learn. So, but now you've got a book out there and a radio show. Tell me about how the book came about and tell us about the book.
Okay, the book is called Stand Up and Speak Up. And people, it's when you do something, or at least for me, when I do something, I figure, okay, I did it, and it's no big deal. But what I found out through my journey, that when I tell my story, which people resonated, and it's a big deal to them. And one of the things I learned in the speaking world is that you want to make a point and tell a story, and you should tell personal stories because people have never heard that before. If you try and make a point by using the story of somebody from history like Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or Ben Franklin or whomever, people may have heard that and they will tune out. But when you share your journey, even if it's somewhat mundane to you, it's novel to the audience. They have not heard it before and they're interested by it. And when I was developing at that first mastermind, trying to say, okay, I don't know what I want to do when I retire, and they say, well, tell me about yourself. And I said, well, my biggest accomplishment, I think, is this overcoming stage fright. And as I shared my story, people go, wow, that's really impressive. And I go, really, it is? And then one of the things I had always wanted to do was write a book, even as a small, I mean, I loved to read as a kid, and I thought it'd be really cool to write a book. And I never really did anything about it other than I was working full-time while I went to college, and I would always try and schedule what I called a designated drop class, a fun class. But if the work got too hard, I would drop it. And it was a writing class, and I had to drop it. So I never really thought it was possible. But Craig Doeswalt talks about, you know, what's one way to market yourself. And I had this insight at one of the boot camps where Craig says, you know, if you have a business, you should get out, you should speak about your business, you should write a book about your business, and you should have a radio show to promote yourself. And being the lazy person that I am, I said, you know what, why don't I do this thing backwards? Why don't I host a radio show, which is easy because it's a one-hour show. You have to book some guests, but it's a couple hours. You know, as a retired person, I could spend 3 hours a week. I could probably fit that in. And then I could write a book, which isn't a timeline, and then I can create a business and go from there. So I'm kind of doing things backwards. And putting my story out there, one of the things I learned as a speaker is that you should make a point and tell a story. And those points I started doing in my Toastmaster speeches because I figured down the road I could repurpose that material into maybe a longer keynote speech. So these Walt's rules that you referred to before and are on my website and are the basis of the book. So There's a story as to how I learned these lessons, like, you know, the biggest one is the most important one to me is just because you couldn't do something before doesn't mean you can't.
Yeah.
And I started out the book, and it basically talks about reinvention. I use kind of a software revision model, and I call myself Walt 2.0. So Walt 1.0 is the guy who was this engineering manager with terrible stage fright. You know, that was my biggest quote-unquote defect or bug that had to come out in the second revision. And now I'm Walt 2.0 doing all these different things. And then I get into telling the different rules and the story that goes behind that rule, you know, why it's important to take small steps. And then I give examples from my life, and people that have read the book have given me the feedback that they're very inspired by it. And again, it's one of those things where, because it's things that I've done, it's not as impressive to me as it is to other people. And I'm sure, I don't know if you're familiar, if you have that same experience, that when you do something that's good, it's like, okay, yeah, it's good, but it's not like if somebody else did it.
Yeah. I think that's a comparison thing. That's one of the things I had to overcome in my fears, was comparing me to someone else. You know, I got into speaking because of Zig Ziglar. And for me to compare my speaking to Zig Ziglar's speaking, okay, that's a bad comparison, because let's face it, the guy is awesome, and I'm never going to be a Zig Ziglar. I'm Tim Gillette. Mm-hmm. So why try to be him, you know? So, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I totally get that, yeah. So.
Yeah, I actually I saw Zig Ziglar before I was wanting to be a speaker at one of these success seminars. I think it was probably in the early 90s or late 80s, but yeah, very impressive. I wish I'd been focused on speaking and had studied him more while I was at the event. I just knew that he was mesmerizing as a member of the audience. Very impressive.
Yeah. He was. I was fortunate. I met him personally before I ever heard him speak, and that was a neat thing. Yeah, to know him on a friend basis, where, you know what I mean, it's kind of like, you know, now we talk like, you know, presidents or in our case, rock stars, you know, it would have been nice to meet, so let's say, presidents, like, you know, would have been nice to meet Bill Clinton before he became Bill Clinton, the governor and the president type thing. It would have been nice to meet, you know, some of these people before you knew the celebrity part of them. You know what I mean? And that's how I got to know Zig. So to me, Zig's always going to be that personal, relatable person. So that kind of removes a fear for me, you know, over the years. But so you've got a book out, you've got a radio show, and I know that, you know what I mean, you took time out of your schedule this morning. I know you go on the air in 2 hours yourself, and you came to my radio show before you prepped your own show today. So tell us about the process of building that radio show, because that, I mean, I know it because I do it. So it was fun, but I'm sure that had its challenges too.
Oh, yeah, the biggest challenge with the radio show, well, there's several challenges. Craig Doeswalt, who's our, you know, our guru we have in common, he suggested you do the first radio show by yourself, and instead of having a guest. And that was the hardest hour of my life, to fill an hour talking about myself. But because I was almost done with the book, I essentially went through the rules and the stories and shared a lot of the material that I'm sharing with you today, and I got through it. So that was a growth step. So that got me comfortable that should ever a guest cancel at the last time, hey, I've already done a show by myself. And what I try and do with the Stand Up and Speak Up radio show is find guests, and since 3 out of 4 people have suffered from stage fright, most of the guests have a stage fright story. And then I try and find what they're doing since they conquered their stage fright, how they're using speaking to, or improv or stand-up, to make a difference or entertain and have a more fulfilling life. And I've learned so much by interviewing people. It's like getting one-on-one time with a person for an hour, and you don't have to pay them for their time. I had one person that was referred to me, a guy named Michael Haig, who he's a storytelling consultant for Will Smith and other people in Hollywood, and he wrote a book that one of the big reference guides. When I mentioned it to my girlfriend, she said that, oh, I know that book. When I used to review scripts, that's something that I had to read. That's very well known in the industry. I've talked to people who are improv actors, who are trainers. I've talked to very accomplished speakers. I've talked to people that have done different things in their life, and speaking is a part of that. Some people are coaches And I just learned so much from my guests, but it's really, I'm helping my audience learn the same thing. And my technique is to bring on the guests, talk about their experience with stage fright, and then what are they doing with it? What is their unique take? What information can I have? And sometimes there's some nuggets, like I found out that one very accomplished speaker actually had thoughts of suicide as a teenager. And it was like, whoa. And when somebody says something like that, you just can't let it go. But fortunately, it was right before a break. I asked her if she was comfortable with me following up, because I'm sure everyone in the audience was like, oh, wow, you know, what was that all about? And we were able to follow up on it. So you just learn about not only what the people do, but who the people are through their stories. And it's such a great learning experience. And hopefully, you know, I get feedback. Like, my personal trainer listens to my show, and when I'm working out, sometimes she goes, oh, I listened to your show yesterday, and she actually gave me the 5 tips that one of the speakers, one of the guys who was a speaker, mentioned. She just gave them back to me, boom, 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 boom. And I go, whoa, okay. So, you know, that's what makes it really enjoyable, that not only am I learning, but other people are learning as well. And the one thing with the radio show, you never know if nobody's listening or if thousands of people are listening. And the fact that people will come up and share with you that they got something out of the show or that they were at least entertained really makes it feel worthwhile.
Yeah, I know. And you talk about that, who's listening, who's not. And some of the things I teach in, I'm actually finishing up this week on a course on building a blog and a radio show. And I was listening through some of the workshops that I teach and realized that some of the stuff I teach about, you know, doing your first radio show, the people who are listening are probably 2 or 3 people, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, things like that. And I talk all the time about the person who listens to my show, and she's downloaded it and going to download this show and listen to it, is my cousin Cindy. She's my oldest cousin, and she plays my radio show in her store in Pennsylvania. And I, you know, she herself would never get up on stage and speak. She would never get on the radio show, but yet she tells everybody about that. And finding stuff to talk about on the radio show was always the fear of mine. That was mine. It's like, okay, what am I going to cover on this show that's going to be impactful for people? And then I realize now it's impactful. Just like having you on the show, I've already got comments, people commenting on Facebook about, oh, wow, I'm going to go join Toastmasters because I'm listening to Walt today. And in the beginning, I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with Walt? How can I work Walt into my audience? Because I talk to entrepreneurs. But every entrepreneur has got a fear they've got to face. And in a way, it's a form of stage fright. Is this business venture going to actually make it? When I present my product to the world, is the world going to accept it or reject it? So, and you've taken it to a level where, you know what I mean, you've got the radio show, you've got the book. And now, are you doing some speaking as well?
That is the kind of the tail end of this. I actually have my first speaking engagement that's not Toastmasters in April. I'll be speaking to a local PMI, the Program Management Institute, the Los Angeles chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the start. So I have been studying. I've been pulling together my message, how I'm going to go out and speak, and I'm going to go and do the, not just speak at Toastmasters, but speak at Rotary clubs and other service clubs to get the same stage time, just like I did some open mics, and I'm currently doing open mics to hone my stand-up craft and taking improv classes. I am going to then work on that third leg, the actually going out there and speaking. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm kind of doing this backwards. Instead of speaking and then writing a book and then doing a radio show, I'm doing them in the reverse order. But the speaking is coming up in 2014. I've already got one engagement, and I've also written some magazine articles that are getting placed in several, they're not exclusive articles, so they are in like an insurance agents organization in Wisconsin, people who make promotional products, their magazine Advantages, the articles have gotten placed there. So I'm getting articles placed where people are learning about me and they can go to my website. So I'm trying to get known, and hopefully by delivering a good product and sharing good information in the radio show and through the book and the blogs. And thank you, by the way, for at the last Mastermind posting the blogging tips, because that got me to revive my blog. We can maybe talk about that a little bit later. But I will be going out there and speaking and doing it. But I am getting a lot of stage time doing improv, and I've done a few sketch comedy shows as well, which is even more terrifying, I think, than speaking, because you have to get up, entertain, but other people are counting on you being accurate with your words. Once I did the improv and got comfortable just talking and not worrying about what I said, now when you're doing a line, if somebody's cueing off of your line, you got to get the words right. So I'm back to having to know my material, but it's all challenging. I'm getting up on stage. It's just not in a speaking environment at the moment, but in 2014, I will be speaking a lot.
Wow. And yeah, I have gotten a few feedbacks on the blog. So yeah, I would love to talk about the blog and how you developed your blog. And that's one thing I've got to go look over with yours, because I told everybody that was in those breakout sessions I did, I wanted them all to have an individual action that they went home and took. I mean, I'm all about action steps. What are you doing? What's your next step? Go do it. You know what I mean? And that's me. So tell us about what you did with action on the blog.
Okay. Just to kind of set this, when I launched the radio show and the book at the beginning of 2013, I also launched a website, and I thought I would do a blog, and I would blog one day a week about an interesting subject. I would do a promotion for the radio show and a recap of the radio show. And it got to be too much work, and it got to be kind of a grind to promote the radio show and recap it. And then I got a few weeks behind, and next thing you know, the blog was stale. But because of listening to you and you not just sharing information but saying, what are you going to do, I committed to doing a blog by that time. And I think my goal is to get up to three times a week, but because I went from nothing, it kind of evolved to Monday morning at 4 a.m. I'm publishing a blog, which usually means, because I am a world-class procrastinator, I can procrastinate as good as anybody. I usually by Sunday evening, I am finishing up my blog, and I resolve not to go to sleep on Sunday night until my blog is ready to be scheduled to go out at 4 in the morning. And since that time, I have consistently published a blog once a week. Usually during the week, there is some subject that I am inspired on enough to write about. And I also have a little bit of a backlog of ideas in the draft form that I massage periodically, and if I'm at a loss, I can take one of those, polish it up, and do it. But it's, you know, it's in big part, you shared good content on how to do a blog, but even more importantly, you just got me to be accountable. In my book, I tell a story about the weight loss and Bobby Kelly. You were at the Mastermind where Bobby Kelly passed out his book had us all read it. And, you know, I said, you know, when I retire, I want to walk like 3 miles every day. What do you think about that? And this was in May, and I was retiring in August. And he looked me in the eye and said, Walt, why can't you start walking now? And I couldn't tell him the lies that I tell myself. And it was kind of like when you put the challenge out there, I could make excuses to myself on why I couldn't blog. I couldn't make an excuse and say, you know what, I can't do what you're asking me to do, to be accountable and set a, you know, like blog once a week. I couldn't do that, and thank you for that.
And, yeah, I love it. I mean, everything I do is, just like you, I mean, you found that one thing. For me, it's because I was a lack of action person that I had to learn to take action. So now I'm out there exactly what you're doing. I'm out there teaching people to do the exact things that I had to, the fears, the problems I had, and now I have to, the flip side, because I've learned how to conquer them, I'm helping others learn how to conquer that same thing. And that's it. A lot of times it's an action, because for me, I get people to build a system to help take action right away. And when that system's in place, it's like a machine running. You know, I talk about my Harley a lot. After I push that button, that original crank is hard, but after that thing gets rolling, boy, I can have that thing doing 90 in no time flat, you know? It's getting it started, and it's that action steps to get it started. So, man, I'm glad that you've got results from that. So tell us then, I mean, I want you to mention your radio show, because I know you're on the air in a couple hours, and I want people to be able to find your radio show. Tell us where your radio show's at.
Okay, my radio show is on the Rockstar Radio Network. It's rockstarradionetwork.com. If you listen live, it's on at 11 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern. If you listen live there, or you could go to the show host page, which is mine, Walt Grassel, that's G-R-A-S-S-L, or there's a Stand Up and Speak Up page. And there are also links to the radio show and the book and my blog and Walt's Rules and my magazine articles at waltgrassel.com. That's waltgrassel.com.
Okay. And, I mean, it's so great, all the information you're giving people. You know, and now you're in your 50s. I got to ask this. Okay, do you feel more alive now in the Walt 2.0 than you did as Walt 1.0 in his early 30s?
Yes, and it's for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, I made a difference in my professional environment, and I really focused on working and making the job easier for the people, the teams I led. I tried to be that buffer between what upper management wanted and maybe clarify the reasons which weren't always clear to the people, and I always listened if they had pushback and tried to take what they had issues with and make the system work better. I was always trying to think out of the box and improve the system and also facilitate communication so that people would work better together, because a lot of the times when people weren't working well, it was because they weren't in alignment. They had different agendas, and I tried to find a common agenda that they could work towards. But when you have the overhead of bosses with maybe political agendas that add extra stress to people, when you have the commute back and forth to work of 45 minutes to an hour in traffic, that quality of my life was, you know, that was, it was stressful. And I didn't eat well, and I didn't exercise as much as I could, and I was out of shape, overweight. So now I've made health be a priority. I work out with a trainer three times a week, and I walk several days a week. I don't have the commute. I set my own agenda, and I'm still able to make a difference. It's not in a corporate environment, you know, meeting project goals, but I am doing the radio show. I'm helping educate people, share my stories to hopefully help people lead better lives. And I'm having fun doing improv, getting in touch with my creative side. I was more of a left brain person in my previous career. Now I'm doing a lot of right-brained activities. I started cartooning in my blog, really crude stick figures. Instead of worrying about copyrighted photos in my blog and getting in trouble for that, I said, let me draw a little cartoon, and that's kind of in line with, what is it, the Back of the Napkin book, Visual Thinking, the Sketch Notes book, that type of thing. So I'm just exploring all these different things, and I tell people all the time, I'm just living the dream.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and one of the things you mentioned today's radio show, which I'm going to ask you because I want to know, do you have like a 4 or 5 year goal now that you're working towards?
Do I have a 4 or 5 year goal? Actually, it's kind of 1 year at a time. This year is to get into the speaking and then to do more stand up and do more promoting. And now that I'm into the groundlings and I have been past the basic and moved up to the intermediate, I'm thinking you know, there may be an opportunity to actually do some acting. But I'm doing it for the sake of the art, not for, hey, I need to be an actor or I need to make money. That's the good thing about being retired. And, you know, I don't try and change that aspect of the situation. I can do a lot of the things I do because I don't have to worry about my activities translating into money. But whereas other people who are trying to act so they can support themselves, or people who are trying to speak or whatever, or do a radio show or write a book and try and turn it into money, I don't have that pressure. But sometimes you're most effective when you don't let the pressure affect how you approach what it is that you're doing. You get what I'm saying there?
Yeah, yeah, wow.
Because that puts a lot of pressure on people. And I think when Glenn Morshauer, who speaks at Craig's boot camps, he talks about going to an audition. He was most successful at an audition when he just tried to have fun with the audition and not put the pressure that I have to get this role. And I was talking to some actors while we were waiting to find out what we did on the class, the individual briefings, and they shared that story that, you know, they have had the best luck when they didn't really care whether they got the job. They just wanted to have fun in the audition. And whether you're speaking or doing any activity related to your business, if you can ignore the pressure and focus and be in the moment on what it is that you're doing and enjoy it for its sake, that gets to the having fun, success will come because that pressure won't detract from what it is you're trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for me, you know, the reason everybody asks why I'm so successful is I stopped working for money in like 2008. And that blows people's mind when they think about that, because they're like, well, you got to eat. Yes, I do have to eat. And yes, I do have to do this to get paid. But money isn't what draws me. The thrill, the challenge, that gets me. You know, it was one of those, you know, challenges that I had to, you know, in my Harley riding group, I did the 2 years in a row, I was the top mileage person. And that was a challenge. I wanted to be the top person. So I found ways to do it. So sometimes it's the challenge that gets it. You know what I mean? I took a job in 2008 where it didn't matter what I made. It was the fact that it was the challenge. I wanted to do something I knew I couldn't do. And after I did it, I walked away from the job and gave someone else the job. And I talk about that in my speeches a lot. But anyway, so, Walt, I mean, we've got about 2 minutes left in the show. Why don't you tell everybody again, tell them your websites and the best places they can get a hold of you so that, you know, other people may want to hear more of your insight.
Sure. People can get in touch with me. You can send me an email to walt@waltgrassel.com. And again, it's WALTGRASSL.com. I'm on Facebook as Walt Grassel. The radio show's on the Rockstar Radio Network, and I welcome feedback. And if people have questions, send me an email, reach out to me on Facebook. I'd be happy to talk to people. Again, I love sharing my story. I belong to a couple different accountability groups that are small, just a couple of friends that I met through Craig, and we talk once a week and, you know, bounce ideas off each other. I've got 37 years in corporate America, working in aerospace in leadership, and I can, you know, I don't tell people what to do. I ask them questions and help them figure out where they want to go, and that might be something I do down the road as a job, but I enjoy just having the conversation. So, yeah, walt@waltgrassel.com, or find me on Facebook. I'd love to hear from people, and if I can help you in any way, and you can listen to the radio show, and you can find all that on my website, the book, the radio show, the blog, and comment on the blog if you like it or you don't like it or something's not clear, please let me know. Or if you have topics you want me to write about, I'd be happy to do that. I welcome all input. That's how I learn.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Walt, for taking time out of your schedule today to come and be part of our radio show. And, guys, I hope that Walt inspires you to actually realize that you can do something. You know, no matter what your fear is. And if it is a fear of yours and you're dealing with it or you have dealt with it, by all means, write Walt and let him know and tell him how you may be inspired by his story or how your story kind of could fit in. Maybe you can fit in on his radio show. Guys, if this is your first time to visit my radio show, I want to thank you for coming by. Please go by the website, if you can, www.timgillette.com. And by all means, check out my video. If you'd like to keep more in touch, go ahead and fill out your name and email address and let me be able to tell you about what's going on in my world. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a great week and a great radio show having Mr. Walt Grassel on. Walt, again, thank you, my friend. And guys, we will see you next week where I will have another great story to share with you about how to stand out as the leader in your business. See you next week.